Hello everyone, I hope you're well and welcome to episode 11 of Creative Crossover. This is a show where I interview somebody working in the creative field and we have a conversation with them about what they do, how they do it, and more importantly, why they do it. As always, please connect with me via social media. It's at Jack Spedding, which is JakSpedding. Tell me what you like about the show and please share it with your own networks too. This way we can all grow together. Into today's guest, it's Ali Arthington Creative, who calls herself a one-woman creative team. Hi Ali, welcome to the podcast. Please can you tell me a little bit about who you are and what it is you do, please?
Okay, my name's Ali Arthington. I'm a graphic designer and also a copywriter and art director. And I specialise in brand development for companies, but I do a whole suite of services really. So sort of run a mini agency, mini as in it's just me.
Right, cool. Nice one. So first up, as always, we're going to have the quick fire round just so we can get to know you a little bit better. iPhone or Android?
iPhone. Apple all the way, I'm afraid.
Perfect, yep. Yeah. It's the same with every graphic designer I've spoken to, I think. I don't think anyone said Android. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Netflix, cool. Work hard or play hard?
Oh, now, I definitely work harder than I play probably, but I know that I should be balancing it much better.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Text or call?
Oh, I prefer to call. I prefer to speak to people, actually. But I do text, depending on who it is.
Right, cool, yeah. Love or money?
Oh, love, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't marry a rich man.
So. Cool, I hope he's not listening. book or audiobook?
Oh, a real book.
Real book, cool. Are you reading anything good at the moment?
Yeah, I'm reading a book called Why Mummy Drinks.
Ah, right, so, okay.
There you go. It's right. A novel. It's just
all right, I won't ask fluff, where that one came
but
from.
Yeah, yeah, it just made me laugh. The title made me laugh. There's another one called Why Mummy Swears.
Ah, so, right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What would you say is the best thing that you own?
The best thing I own? Oh, good question. The best thing I own. Oh, well, probably my garden, actually.
Okay.
I sort of own it. It's almost paid off not. but yeah, it's definitely the place I like to go. My happy place. So yeah, my garden.
Cool. So are you quite green-fingered then?
I'm a bit of a throw it in and see what happens, but everything seems to do quite well.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Good. Cool. And what would you say is the best thing that you don't own?
The best thing I don't own? All my children. Yeah.
Your children?
Yeah, I'm not the owner of them.
Yeah, great answer.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. So take me through your creative journey. Where did it all begin for you?
All right. So it's been quite a long one. I started off, I actually went to university and studied to be a graphic designer. So yep. I knew from an early age, actually, that I wanted to do this. And that is, I graduated 22 years ago, so a long time ago. And since then, I've always worked as a designer, come art director. So what happens is, if you work in a design agency, you're a designer. If you move into advertising, you suddenly become an art director.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to me. So I was, the agency I worked at my second job in Manchester, was an ad agency, and they hired art directors who could design. So that's where I learned about art direction as well as design. And then I've always had an interest in words. So I always chipped in, although I worked with a copywriter, I would always chip in lines and copy ideas. And then after sort of 10 years working for other people, I decided to go freelance, which was in 2006. And I've been freelance ever since. So I freelanced in-house for quite a lot of years. So that would involve me going into ad agencies or design agencies and being given a task for that day or week, doing the task. And then that would be it. Then when I had my second child, it just didn't work. Traveling to Manchester every day, it just didn't work for me very well. And I started to get more opportunities to work directly with my own clients, which meant that I didn't have to be traveling to Manchester, I could work from home.
Yeah.
So now I pretty much all my work is for direct clients or my own clients, with the odd job for agencies, but I do that from home as well. So they let me work on projects for them from home.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, that's really very varied.
Nice one. So is it 12, 13 years you've been working for yourself then?
Yeah, I'm coming up, yeah. In August it's 13 years, yes.
Right, wow. And you're obviously doing something right then. What do you think is the key to your success? And do you think how can others replicate that?
Good question. Right, so the key to my success. So my clients, most of my clients, the youngest of my clients, if you will, the one I've worked with the least longest, is 5 years now. So I think the secret to that success is building good client relationships. And yeah. I tend to do that by, becoming part of the team. So I get to know their brand and their company and their business as well as I possibly can. And I it becomes a we, not a you and me.
Yes.
So that I'm actually working for them. And now that's what's happened, really. If you looked on my LinkedIn profile, I've got various job titles for various companies. Although I don't actually work for them as an employee, I do work for them. So I'm their either their brand director or their brand consultant or whatever. But I think the secret is really being part of the team. And on top of that, it's a bit of a given, but the creativity. I'm not just a designer. The idea is central to everything that I do. So I think they buy into the idea. They buy into the quality of the design.
Yeah.
And me being part of the team, and also the versatility, so the mix of skills, really. So the design, the art direction, and the copywriting.
Cool. Going back, you mentioned creativity there. Where do you find, that's an open-ended question, but where do you draw your creativity from?
Oh, I'm a bit of a sponge. Anywhere. I mean, the one good thing, if you will, about being old or older is that I've been through a lot of life experiences. So I've had children, I've got a house, I've been married, I've worked in various jobs, done lots of different things. So you can draw on that. You can bring all those experiences to the solution that you develop for something.
Yes, yeah.
So I can have empathy. I've been on a diet, I've had insurance, I've bought a car, all those sorts of things. You can have empathy with the end customer. So I think that's I get ideas from there, because the best ideas are ones that are ground, basically. Or we used to, when I worked in advertising, we called it a human truth.
Yeah.
So there was a human truth in what the idea was. And also, I mean, I get a lot of inspiration from my children, the things they come out with, humour. I'm big on nature, so I'm always inspired by being outside. You're a sponge, soak it all up.
Cool.
Really don't miss anything. Yeah.
Cool, nice one. Obviously you were saying there sort of the diet things, the insurance, the cars, you work across quite a lot of a varying clients across a lot of sectors as well. Do you find having that variety of different clients helps you express yourself creatively a little bit more?
Yeah, because I've been doing this a long time, in my time I have worked practically nearly every sector, but you have to become a mini expert in whatever sector it is you know you're working with.
Yes.
So one of my main clients is an accountancy client. That sounds really, really dull, but the mission is really to, their word was de-stuffify accounting.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the mission that we're on. So I've had to learn so much about accounting. I write about accounting for them, for their website. I write content. Similarly, I have a client who is, they give training to health and fitness professionals. I've had to learn all about their courses and what they offer, and to be really well informed. When I'm informed, and then you can build the creativity on top of that. But if you're guessing at things, you don't really end up with a very strong idea.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I like the approach that you've got. You sort of have to go and live inside their bubble for a little bit a week, don't you? And then
you have to walk in the shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think I know your Twitter handle reads a one-woman creative team. Do you think this gives you a competitive edge where some people don't want their own in-house graphic designers 5-7 days a week or whatever? Do you think being that one-woman creative team gives you the competitive edge against some of the bigger agencies?
not the really big agencies, but yeah, there's a couple of things. One, you're dealing with one person, not, you know, several people who are giving you different services. I'm more cost effective because, again, you're only paying one person to do all these things. But it is very, very unusual. You rarely get designers who can write copy or who do write copy. Yeah.
Or write it well, should we say?
Yeah. Or who want to, because they're not necessarily that way inclined. Just because you're a visual person doesn't mean you're a words person. Mm. So I tend to think in words first anyway, and then the visuals come after. But it does give me an advantage, because the clients who want a stricter budget, who can't maybe afford an agency, a bigger agency, and the overheads that a bigger agency have got, can have the same range of services from someone, but it's a bit more personal, obviously, because they're always dealing with the same person.
And does collaboration then have to come into that? Does it form a huge part in what you do? Obviously you'll have to fill the skills gap where maybe it's missing from yourself or whatever is in the rest of the company. How do you go about finding those people who you do collaborate with?
Similar to myself, really. Most of it comes from recommendation. People tend to only recommend people they trust. So you know that if somebody gives you somebody's name, they generally trust that it's not going to backfire, and they're not going to get a bad job because it would go back to them. So I work with photographers, funnily enough, like yourself.
Yep.
I work with digital developers and digital marketing experts, because I'm not a digital marketing expert. I wouldn't, you know, you can only be good at a certain number of things, and illustrators and printers, you know, lots of services that you need, strategists, so marketing strategy people. I pull together where needed, and generally they're either people I've worked with in the past, or the clients that have moved on and gone somewhere else, ex-clients.
Yes.
People that have become recommended.
Cool. So recommendation, I guess, in forms quite a large part of your business. I know when I was researching you, one of the hardest things was trying to find anything about you online. Like, there's no website, which is like, it's a bit blasphemous, isn't it, in 2019? Yeah. But where do you get your clients from?
I know. I totally do not practice what I preach, and I should. And the only reason, I have a domain, I just don't have a website. It's always been. So when I went freelance, when I went working in-house, what I literally did was tap up everybody I'd ever worked with in the agencies that I worked in, where they'd gone to, because everybody spreads around. So across Manchester, I knew somebody in quite a lot of the big agencies.
Yeah.
And that sort of got me a foot in the door. So I started off then pitching myself more heavily. I had a book that I would take in, you know, of my work and so on. And then once I established sort of my reputation then freelancing as doing a good job and being reliable and, you know, always being able to sort of bring it to the party when I got booked.
Yeah.
Then after I started working more at home, those people, they don't forget you as such, and they come to you when there's a specific job that will suit you.
Yes.
But then most of them are off doing their own thing. A lot have set up their own businesses now. So they've become my direct clients where they were agency clients before. And I am a bit shameless sometimes if I meet people and they run their own business, and I do introduce myself and my services that way. So business has come that way as well. But generally it's somebody who knows somebody.
That's good. So it's a lot more sort of a personal way that way, isn't it? More than sort of touting your wares on Instagram and maybe getting a little bit where you don't have that connection. I know, talking from you, the connection with the client's quite a big thing for you. That must be a great way of getting people where, you know, it's a lot more personal.
Yeah, and there's also a bit less risk involved, because what you do, obviously, in this business, you do the work before you get paid for the work.
Yes.
And if somebody's come for and they're almost like a qualified lead, where you know that you can trust them as well as they can trust you, they'll trust you going to do a good job, and you can trust that they'll be a good client because it's come from a referral sort of basis.
Yeah, cool. And what would you say the future holds for you? What's the end goal then?
Oh, well, I think because I'm a creative person, I'm forever having ideas, and I do toss around the idea of being more than me, you know, and being a bigger company. At the moment, just I've got young children, and the way life is, I don't necessarily want the responsibility of other people,
yes, yeah.
You know, and other costs. So at the moment, it just works really nicely. I have, you know, some retained clients. There's always room for a little bit more regular, you know, good, strong relationships with clients. But at the moment, it's just to grow the way I'm doing it just a little bit more. So
perfect.
There's still capacity for regular, you know, regular yeah. clients.
Yeah. So looking back over your last 22 years in the creative, what's the one piece of advice that you'd give to yourself if you could go back those 22 years? What's the one piece of advice you'd give to yourself?
Well, don't sweat the small stuff, but always do a good job. And less is more. That's my advice to everybody. You know, don't over-egg things. This is what I've always said to people when they want to work freelance. Don't do it unless you do have enough experience that you can do this on your own. So you say, I was 10 years in. So I'd done this a long time and I knew I was good at my actual job.
Yeah.
So being a designer. The other stuff around running a business is the tricky stuff, but I don't do it. If you know your job inside out, then you can focus on the task of running a business. So go freelance when you know your own job inside out and you can more or less do it standing on your head.
Yeah.
And if you know people, you know, they're your first port of call, really. They should be where you start to build your business. Be people that know already how good you are and what you do. Don't try to go in cold and get new clients. But it's probably things around actually running a business. Can't say I knew anything about running a business when I went freelance.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have learned, you know, an awful lot. And a big piece of advice is don't wait for people to pay you if they're not paid you on time. Chase.
Right.
From the minute
yes.
from the minute that invoice hits, whatever your terms are,
yeah,
start chasing.
Cool. Yeah, perfect. And lastly, where can people connect with you? Where's the best place for people to find you, either online or in person?
I would say for a business point of view, if they want, you know, to talk, discuss a possible project or, you know, find out more, LinkedIn probably. I am on Instagram. I do have a Facebook page, but that's just more so that friends can see
yes.
what it is I actually do. They, yep. they joke that I just colour by numbers all day. that's the running joke.
Yeah.
LinkedIn, and or you can look at, you know, look me up on Instagram and have a look at some of the visual stuff.
Perfect.
That I do. But yeah, that's it.
Nice one. Thank you very much for that, Ali.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And that's it for episode 11. I hope you enjoyed my chat there with Ali. Please reach out to us both on social media if you have any more questions. And as always, please do leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help us boost the rankings. Thank you very much. Goodbye.